All right, welcome back, everybody, to Monday Night Beef Matters. Thank you so much to the Goldman family for sponsoring our delicious dairy refreshments tonight, warming us up for the snow day. And Yasher Koach, everybody, for coming out. Let's get ready for Purim. We have an amazing topic tonight. I think it's really going to energize us and really inform our experience of Purim. And let's begin from the Megillah itself. So it's no secret, I'm not really saying any secrets tonight, it's no secret that the theme of Achdus, of the unification, the unity of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish nation, is a main theme, a central theme in the Megillah and in the experience of Purim. And this really begins from the story itself. We know in source number one, in the third parak of Esther, Haman accuses us of being a Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar Forad Bein Ho'amim. There's a nation that is scattered and divided between the nations, B'chol Medinos Malchusecha. So he characterizes us as a divided nation. Then in Perek Dalid, Esther rallies the people to fight on her behalf. Tzumu alai, v'altochlu v'altoshtu shloshes yamim. The entire nation fasts on behalf of Esther approaching the king. And then going forward into the ninth Perek, the entire nation, of course, fights together against the enemies. And eventually the day of Purim is accepted for the entirety of the Jewish nation. And that's really the emphasis in the Megillah. The Megillah keeps it, when we hear the Megillah, 1 week from tonight. So when we hear the Megillah, keep an ear out. Is that normal to say? For Kol HaYehudim, the Pesukim keep saying Kol HaYehudim, Kol HaYehudim, Kol HaYehudim. Every Jew is involved in the observance of the Day of Purim and the establishment of the Day of Purim. Take a look at source number two. Kiyemu v'kiblu HaYehudim aleihem. It's like a staccato type of like build up, right? They establish it for themselves and for their progeny and for everybody who is dependent upon them. We're really trying to hit home that this day is for everybody. And then in case we didn't know that already, in the next pasuk it says Vayomim Ila Nizkarim V'Naasim B'chol Dor V'Dor, which is the pasuk that teaches us about the obligation to read the Megillah and do the mitzvos. Every generation. And how is it done? Mishpacha, mishpacha, medinon, dinon, v'ir, v'ir. Every family, every state, every city, everybody's going to be involved in this mitzvah. We have a clear and stark transition from Haman's accusation of the nation being one that is dispersed and divided to a nation that is clearly tied and intertwined, completely unified by the end of the story. So no secret right there, off the bat, everybody knows that. Good. What I wanted to discuss tonight is how this theme of Achdus, of the unity of the Jewish people, really makes its way through. It underlies every element of the very multifaceted day of Purim. Purim is such a busy day. We have so much going on. It's hard to get everything done on Purim. You know, you have Mishloach Manos, you got Matanos Avyonim, then you got the Suda, you got to visit that, this person, you got to visit the other person, you got to listen to the Megillah the night before, you got to listen to the Megillah the morning of, how are you going to do it with your wife and your kids and everybody? So much going on Purim. And every single element is really dominated by this theme of Achdus. So that's what I want to explore tonight. I want to try to demonstrate how Achdus is not just something that comes out of the Megillah. This is one of those beautiful cases where there's a theme in Torah Shebichsav, a theme in the story itself, in the Pesukim, that then, you know, it makes its way into the halachos, into the formalities, into the legalities of the day. It's not just a theme in terms of a historical narrative, in terms of how we look at the story, but it really has a lot of life in all of the halachos. So the majority of our shiur tonight, we're going to focus on Mikra Megillah. So let's begin with Mikra Megillah, and then we'll go to the Suda, and then to Mishloach Manos, and then to Matanos Tavyonim, and then we'll wrap up with some really fascinating comments of the Rambam. So let's begin with Mikra Megillah. What exactly is the role of the tzibor, of the community, when it comes to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, of reading the Megillah on Purim? So probably the best Gemara to turn to in source number three is Megillah Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Yes, Aryeh, we are going Limafreya here, going out of order. But that's conceptually what makes the most sense. So Amar Rav, Megillah Bizmana, Kore Nosa Afilu Biyachid, Shalob Bizmana Basara, Rav Asi Amar Bein Bizmana Bein Shalob Bizmana Basara. Rav and Rav Asi have a debate here about when you read the Megillah, Bizmano means on the day you're supposed to read it, and Shalom Bizmano means on a day that's not the day you're supposed to read it. I'm not really getting into that topic right now. Let's just focus on Megillah Bizmano. Okay, so we're going to read the Megillah on the 14th. Do you have to read it with a minion, or can you read it on your own? Huge practical ramifications. Can you go to a hospital and read for somebody who unfortunately is sick and can't make it to shul, or do you have to bring a whole minion with you? So Rav says, Megillah Bizmano Kore Nosa Filu Biyachid. You can read it even as an individual. So I can go and read for someone who's not able to make it. I don't have to bring anybody with me. Rav Asi says, Shalom Bizmano Ba'asara. Rav Asi says, we need 10. So the explanation, or you know, kind of the way that the Rishonim elucidate this machlokas between Rav and Rav Asi, takes one of three forms. There's three opinions in the Rishonim about how to explain this debate. So basically, for those of you who like probability, it covers every possible case. So it goes like this. Some of the Rishonim say that Rav and Rav Asi are only arguing about a lechatchila case, meaning what's the ideal thing to do? If you have the choice, do you have to go out and find a minion, or can you just read it on your own? Rav says you could read it on your own, and Rav Asi says, no, you need 10. That's one way to look at it. Other Rishonim say what they're arguing about is, no, they're arguing about bidieved, meaning that according to Rav Asi, if you were to read the Megillah on your own, you wouldn't be yotzei at all. And then some have like a middle position, where they say that even Rav, who says that you can read the Megillah by yourself, he agrees that ideally you should try to find a minion. And that's what we see in the Rashba in source number 5. Take a look at the second paragraph in the Rashba, source number 5, V'yesh lomar, De'afilu Rav modehu shetzarech lekrosa imatzibor. Rav also agrees that you have to read it with the community, with the congregation. Why? Mishum deberovam hadras melech upersumenisa berabim. When you get together with a lot of people, so that brings glory to the melech malchei hamlachim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we know that Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah of persumenisa. By reading the Megillah, we're mefarsim the nes, we publicize the miracle of Purim. When you're trying to publicize the miracle, you want to have as many people as possible. So says the Rashba, even though Rav says, yes, you can do the mitzvah by yourself, but ideally, you should do it berabim. You should do it with the congregation. So that's how we paskin halacha l'maisa. Take a look at source number 6. Megillah biyadalit ubit hesvav, tzarech lachzor achar asara, should try to search for 10 people. Ve'im i'afshar ba'asara kore mosa biyachid. But if you can't find a minion, so then you read it just alone. Read it biyachidus. And that's why when, you know, you go to a hospital to read for someone or someone who is homebound, unfortunately, so you can read it biyachidus and you're totally, everyone's yotze, no problem. However, when it comes to cases where you're able to do the ideal, so the ideal is for everybody to come together and read it together in shul. Because as the Rashba said, berovam hadras melech and persumenisa berabim. The truth is that we find this in another Gemara, in Megillah Daf Gimel Amid Aleph, a striking Gemara, unbelievable Gemara. Says the Gemara, the hash of the Amris, Medino, Medino, Ve'ir, Ve'ir, Lidrasha. Once we've extrapolated those words, every state, every city, so now let's finish up. Mishpacha u Mishpacha, Lamai Asa. What do the words family and each family come to teach? Amrab Yossi Bar Chanina, Lahavi Mishpachos Kahuna u Leviya. It comes to include the families of the Kohanim and the Leviim. What does it come to include? Shemevaplin avodasan ubayin l'shma mikra megillah. They put to the side the service in the Beis HaMikdash, and instead they come to the shuls to hear Megillah. Da'amar Rav Yehuda, Da'amar Rav. Rav says, Kohanim avodasan u'levim v'duchanan v'yisrael b'ba'amadan. Whether the Kohanim doing the service of the Korbanos, or the Leviim singing on the platform, or the Yisrael standing around watching the Korbanos, Kulan mevatlin avodasan ubayin l'shmo amikra megillah. They all put to the side what they're doing and they come to the shul to listen to Mikra Megillah. And the Rashba explains here, again, same exact idea. Why do they do this?
Source number 5, Mivatan Mavodasan the Shmo Mikra Megilla Perush, Afal Pisha Yesha Husbayom Lavod Avoda, the Achar Kach Likros, even though, think about it, the Kohanim are in the Beis HaMikdash in the morning, right? They're there at 8 a.m. So they could do the Avoda, they could give the Korban, and then at 11 a.m., they'll read the Megillah. What's the problem? Says the Rashba, no. Afilu achi mevatlin me'avodasan. They delay the avoda kedei lishmoa b'tzibur. So that way they're able to come to the shul in order to listen to the Megillah. So that's some of the Rishonim bring this proof that they had a minyan in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no question about it. They had a minyan in the Beis HaMikdash. But there was a larger minyan out somewhere in Yerushalayim, right? Where everybody was getting together. So what the Gemara here is saying that is that they put to the side the smaller minyan in the Beis HaMikdash, delay the avoda, and come back and do and go to the larger minyan, and then go back and do the avoda. Up until now, by the way, I've used the phrase delay the avoda, because most Rishonim say that what this Gemara means is not that they would cancel the avoda. Of course, they would do it; they would just delay. There are some, though, the Taz. Taz says no; they would actually, if necessary, they would totally cancel the avoda in order to listen to the Megillah, the Rovan. Unbelievable. Huh? Not the Korban Tami. But other parts of the avoda that they wouldn't be able to do. I don't know, maybe even the Korban Tami. It can't be. No. So the Taz says that because Mikra Megillah is Medivrei Kabbalah, they did also Chizuk Ledivreyem, and they were Oker B'Sheva Atase. That what that means is that the Rabbanan maintain the power to tell you not to do a mitzvah de oraisa in order to listen to what they have to say. So according to the Taz, the Rabbanan said, don't do this mitzvah if you're not able to also listen to the Megillah Berova. That's not how most Rishonim say, but yeah. Right. I mean, not everybody was in the Beis HaMikdash. People were in their homes in Yerushalayim. Yeah, maybe it would be nicer if they made the shul right there. But,
I feel like there are other mitzvahs I've heard the term Rabban.
Oh, okay, so this is Chaim. That's exactly what I wanted to speak about. Okay? So if you take a look at the Rashba, it's pretty clear to me. You tell me if you think I'm wrong here. Please, don't be shy. But if you take a look at the Rashba, that bold line, the first line in the second paragraph, it's pretty clear to me that he's saying two reasons, right? He's offering two reasons for why we should read the Megillah with a large congregation. One is Berovam Hadras Melech. The more people you have, the greater the glory for the King of Kings. And number two, because you want to publicize the miracle. There are two different reasons, right? So, and in fact, I'll prove it to you that these are two different reasons, because we'll come up with a case where Pirsume Nisa is fulfilled, the publication of the publicizing of the miracle is fulfilled, but there's still the requirement of Berova, or at least the suggestion. So let's get right to that case, okay? So the Shulchan Aruch says, in source number 6, the Rama writes, V'im karu osa v'tzibur. So let's say you live in a community, and the community itself held its minyan, and they already read the Megillah. But there was some person out there who wasn't able to come listen to the Megillah at that time. So he or she can read it individually. Because once you have a minyan in the city, so then the individuals who were not able to partake in that minyan can read it by themselves. Essentially, what this is saying is that the requirement of Pirsume Nisa is for the town to have a public display, you know, a publicizing of the miracle. So when the town has its own minyan, its own congregation, Pirsume Nisa is done. Right? So according to this Rama, so what we're saying is that once the Pirsume Nisa in the town is finished, then every individual can read it on his own, his or her own. Take a look at the Mishneh Berurah in source number 7, the second paragraph, Samach Dalet. He's going to explain this. Lechatchila biyachid, dehanes kfar nisparsi. When the town had its large gathering, so the miracle was already publicized. V'leka rak mishum birov am. And the only consideration that still remains is that you want as many people as possible when you are reading the Megillah. So you see clearly he's distinguishing between these two aspects.
Yeah?
Because Pirsum Hanes, the publicizing of the miracle, is taken care of, but Berovam is still outlined. Right? So the Rama says, you don't have to go out of your way to search for, you know, lots of people to search for a minion if your town already had a minion. But then at the very end, he quotes from the Sefer Yad Ephraim, this is in the second to last line, V'ayin b'Yad Ephraim, Shekosav didin zeh shehivi harama b'shem Orchos Chaim, eino muskom l'sharei poskim. Not everybody else agrees with it. V'lochein af b'chi ha'gavna yahader achar asara anoshim. And therefore, even in this case, again, just to repeat the case, it's where your town already had a minion. So they took care of the publicizing of the miracle. It happened already. And now we have a few individuals who weren't able to partake in that reading. So what should they do? Can they just read it on their own? Or is there an ideal that they should get together a minion? The Rama says in that case they could just read it on their own. But there are other poskim who say, no, even in that case, they should still get together a minion. Why? Because of Birovam Hadras Melech. And just to add one more point before I kind of unpack the conceptual significance of what we've seen so far. In the Mishnah Berurah in Samech Beis, he points out that even if you have 100 people in your house, if you have a shul with a larger congregation, it's still a mitzvah to go to the shul because of Berovam Hadras Melech. So even though you do have a large, you know, gathering in your own home, but still maybe it's unclear to me whether he's saying that the shul will always have more people or just that the shul is the center where kind of like the publicizing of the miracle and the congregation takes place. Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe you just say that there will be more people in shul if you and your 100 people go to shul. Whereas if you have two minyanim,
right, and Rav Rimon points out, and I'm sure other posts agree with this, Rav Rimon says, this is great, he says, it's really best within one shul not to have multiple minyanim for the Megillah, unless it's necessary, obviously. In our shul, we can't fit everybody in one place. So it's not possible not to have two minyanim. But in a place where you have a very large space and everybody can be together for one minyan, Unless there's very pressing considerations, you know, you're dividing between families that have to get home within 30 minutes and families that don't. Okay, but the ideal would be that everybody should be davening together in the same minyan. That's kind of the point that you're making, right? Okay, so these are all kind of the halachic background to this idea of number one, Pirsumei Nisa, and number two, Birovam Hadras Melech. I want to try to unpack why Birovam Hadras Melech has such a pronounced application, specifically in this context of Mikra Megillah. And what I want to suggest is that perhaps, Chaim, you pointed out before that Birovam Hadras Melech applies to other mitzvos too, right? That's true. We often apply Birovam Hadras Melech, right? Even with respect to davening, it's better to daven in a larger minyan. We in Mishneh Berurah Yomi, we've discussed Tefillah B'Tzibur, and the post can point out that it's better to go to the larger shul. All other considerations taken aside, I'm not passing halacha l'maaseh on that. But meaning the post can say you should daven where you're going to daven best. That's for sure. But just one consideration is having a large shul, right? So Berovam Hadras Melech for sure. Why so pronounced when it comes to Mikra Megillah? So I always thought this, and then last night I saw it in the Sfas Emes. I mean, come on, unbelievable! I feel like I've been a Talmud of the Sfas Emes all year, and now I was exactly mechavim to what the Sfas Emes wanted to say. So take a look at source number 9. He says Sfas Emes says. So ve'achar kach al yedei hasina she'ala al das ho'amim la'abdu. After the hatred that came into the minds of the foreign nations to annihilate the Jewish people, as we're going to read in the third chapter, la'hashmid, la'harog, u'la'abed. Everybody. Man, woman, child, doesn't matter. We don't discriminate. With Haman and Achashverosh, everybody was going to be gone. Ze'atzmo ha'yisa ha'yeshua. This itself provided the basis, the framework for the salvation. Shenehefchu la'ovim v'nisachdu b'nei Yisrael. Everybody else turned into enemies, and that forced the Jewish people to really bond with one another, to unify in their fight or their defense, in their self-defense. Kimosha kasuv leich kinos kol ha'yehudim. Esther says to Mordechai, go out and gather together all of the Jews. Remember, I started off by saying, pay attention to how many times it says, Kol HaYehudim. Uchsiv nikhalu v'amod al nafsham. Everybody fought and for their lives. So now look at this line. Lachin ikr mitzvas megillah ba'asara, mishpacha u'mishpacha. That's why the best way to perform mikra megillah is with a minyan, with a congregation, families together. Lirmons she'ikar ha'yeshua, Haisa his asvus b'nei Yisrael lavo el ha'achus. In order to allude to the fact that the essence of the salvation came about by the Jewish nation coming together all in a unified form. That's why Birovam Hadras Melech takes on such a pronounced character when it comes to Mikra Megillah. Because here, it's not only an external halachic consideration that it's always better to do mitzvos with a lot of people. Here, it's an internal consideration. It's intrinsic to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah that it belongs with a lot of people. Because the theme of the Megillah and of Purim as a whole is that we're all joining together. And that's why Birovam Hadras Melech takes on such significance. This also explains, turn to the second side, this also explains why, there is an inyan, there's a practice to bring children to the Megillah. So the Torah quotes from the Yerushalmi that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi used to bring his whole family, even his kids, for Mikra Megillah. The Shulchan Aruch in source number 11 says, Minog tov lahavi kitanim ukitanos l'shmua Mikra Megillah. It's a good thing to bring the children. And the question here is what the Shulchan Aruch saying is just like general chinuch, education of our children, like we would do for any other mitzvah? If your child reaches the age where they're able to take a lulav, where they're able to daven, where they're able to wear tzitzis, so you educate them in the mitzvah. Is that what the Shulchan Aruch is saying? Or maybe he's saying something more. Maybe he's saying that the idea of Mikra Megillah is for everybody to be here. And the Mishnah Berurah in source 12, he says that, okay, don't bring like the little kids who are going to be crying and making a whole fuss the whole time because they're going to disturb everybody. And then you and I, who are actually obligated in the mitzvah, won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah. We won't be able to hear the words if our kids are crying in our ears the entire time. But what's the implication? Dovi, what's the implication? That Lu Yitzuyer, had it been that 2 and 3 year olds didn't cry so much, so then we would bring them to shul, right? But why? They're not obligated in the mitzvah. They haven't even reached the age of chinuch yet. Why would you bring them? So again, the implication is that we're trying to bring everybody. Everybody's coming into shul for Mikra Megillah because of this theme of achdus, of the unity of the nation. Yeah.
Just reminds me of the discussion
by Hakka. Yeah.
Whether Kappa also is described, whether, what if not Nachnei Chinuch? You're supposed to be Tanat Sanger Shabbos.
Exactly. And
why would you bring a kid to Tanat Chinuch? No, because you're supposed to bring everybody.
So Dovi is making a parallel to the mitzvah of Hakel. Hakel is where we gather the whole Jewish nation every 7 years on Sukkos. To basically, the Rambam explains in Hilchos Chagiga, it's a reenactment of Mamar Har Sinai, Hakel. Right? So it's an experiential thing. It's where everybody has to be here because essentially what we're doing is replaying Mamad Har Sinai every 7 years, right? So too here, we have this is an experience. It's not just a formality of the words are being said, I'm listening to the words, check the box. No. The experience of Mikra Megillah means we're putting ourselves almost back into the shoes of the people of Shushan and the rest of the cities around Ahasuerus, and we're saying, we realize that this whole miracle was rooted in us all getting together. Exactly. So I want to show with a few minutes that we have left that this really pervades all of the mitzvos of Purim, not just the reading of the Megillah. So when it comes to the Suda, Rashi, in his commentary on Megillah Esther, Aryeh, this is good for the test, Mishpacha o Mishpacha, Hamivin Yavin, Misasvin Yachad, Va'ochlin V'shosin Yachad. So everybody gathers together, and they're going to eat and drink together. V'kach kiblu aleim, Sheimei HaPurim lo Yavru. This is the way that the Jewish people established the days of Purim, that they should never end, they should never cease. that every year on Purim, we're going to gather together to enjoy and be merry. Source number 14, there's a Gemara in Megillah, Daf Zayin Amid Beis, which says that Abayi bar Avin v'Rab Chanina bar Avin, there were two Amoraim who were michlefei su'udasayhu lahadadeh. They used to interchange their meals. They used to give meals to each other. Rashi explains, follow with me, Rashi on that Gemara says that what this means is that they would switch off years where they would have the Suda. So one year they would have it at Abaye's house, and the other year they would have it at Rab Chanina's house. And Rashi interprets this as a fulfillment of Mishloach Manos, that they were giving foods to each other. Everybody asks on Rashi, I don't understand. Because the year that they ate at Abaye's house, how did Abaye fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos?
One person would make the decision.
The year that they ate at Abaye's house, so Abaye provided the food, so I understand. But how did his guest fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? And the other year, how did the other one fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? Okay, so that's a topic in and of itself. But what the next source, the Chidushei Anshei Shem, Rab Nosson Shapira, lived in Yerushalayim in the 1600s, he says, no, hold on. That's not what the Gemara means. Obviously, Rashi understands that they gave gifts to each other every year. But what the Gemara is trying to tell us is that they specifically had this strategy that one year they would eat at one person's house and the other year they would eat at the other person's house. Why? So take a look. They did this in order to increase the joy, so that they would always eat the meal together with friends. Not that every person should just eat on his own. Yosef, take this home, put this on the fridge. Says the Chidush Yanchei Shem that it's from this practice in the Gemara that the custom emerged that groups of people go from home to home all day on Purim, eating and drinking with each other. It's specifically because we're trying to fulfill this idea of mireus, of friendship, of brotherhood, of unity. That's the idea that underlies the Suda. So that's why the Suda is not just that when you have more people, so it's more fun and it's more enjoyable. Yes, that's all true. But when you have more people, you're actually doing something very fundamental. There is a concept that you're satisfying. And that is that you are reenacting the theme of Purim, namely the Achdus that emerged throughout the story. This also comes out in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. So these dotted lines basically just distinguish for you the three different mitzvahs. The first section is the Suda, second section is Mishloach Manos, the last section is Matanos Lavyonim. So when it comes to Mishloach Manos, there is an age-old question about what is really the chiyuv, what is the obligation of Mishloach Manos? Is it to give someone else food for his or her Suda, or is it to use gifts in order to express a sense of friendship? So are we really focusing on the food itself, or is the food more of a means of expression of an emotional bond and connection between the people? You'll ask me, what's the difference? So, first of all, the Trumas Hadeshen, Rabbi Yisrael ben Psache Iserlin, in source number 16, so he writes, he has a question, happens to be the Trumas Hadeshen. He writes in terms of questions and answers, but these were not actually questions. Most of them were not actually questions that he received. It was just a means of writing, where it was kind of like a logical, it was the way that he liked to present his chidushim, that he framed it in terms of a question, and then he answered it. But it wasn't necessarily a question he actually got. So Trumas Hadeshen says, what if you want to give to your friend clothing instead of food? Are you Yotze Mishloach Manos? He says, no way, because you have to give them something for the Suda. So that's this Trumas Hadeshen is known as the opinion that the whole point of Mishloach Manos is to facilitate the Suda. However, the Manos Halevi, Rab Shlomo Halevi Alkevitz, who knows what he's famous for? There we go, Barry, on the ball. Okay, so the Manos Halevi, Rab Shlomo Halevi Alkevitz, wrote Licha Dodi. He also wrote a beautiful Perush on the Megillah known as Manos Halevi. And he writes in the middle over here, Od Hosifu HaProzim al-Bnei Shushan, the non-walled cities added umishloach manos ish lerei'ehu. They added the mitzvah of sending gifts to one another. Kizeh romis kihim ba'aguda achas u'ba'ava v'achva. When you exchange gifts with one another, so that exhibits, that demonstrates that we are all in unison. We all share a sense of affection and brotherhood. Hefech ma sha'omer ha'tzorer mefuzer mefura. He specifically alludes to what Haman accused us of being, that Haman said we're a divided and dispersed nation. Says the Manos HaLevi, we're going to show Haman that he was wrong. How do we do that? With the Mishloach Manos. So again, what's the difference between these opinions? So what happens if you go to someone's house? You put together a beautiful package. It's all wrapped nicely. You know, you have the ribbon. Your wife used the cricket to get something personalized onto it. Yes, my wife's been very into that. So that's what I'm thinking about. Right? You go up and they say, no thanks. They say, I'm good. Please take it back. Are you Yotze? You tried. They say, nah, I don't really want it today. Are you Yotze? So take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, source number 18. Vim sholeach manos l'rei'ehu, v'hu eino rotze l'kavlam, o mochelo. You try to give somebody else a package. They say, I'm okay. You know, I'll forego. Yotza. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you're Yotze. It's from the Rambam. The Mishneh Berurah points out that the Pri Chadash disagrees. And the Chasam Sofer also explains why. What's this debate? Whether you're Yotze when somebody refuses. So the classical explanation of it is that it turns on these two approaches to the mitzvah. If the whole point of the mitzvah was to give somebody else food for their suda, so you tried to do that. They said, no, I have enough food, right? I got to get rid of all the chametz before Pesach. I don't need more on my hands. So yeah, I have enough food. Okay, so you did what you were supposed to do, right? Delete. Okay, let's restart. If you tried to give them the gift, right? They said, it's okay, I'll forgive you, right? Meaning I'll forego. Well, you try to express a sense of friendship, right? You say, you know, I love you, man, right? I want to give you something. So if they say, no, thank you, but still, you express the friendship. So according to Rav Shlomo Alevi Alkevitz, you would be Yotze, because you did what was incumbent upon you, which was an expression of brotherhood. But if the whole point is to enable the other person's suda, well, then they actually have to take the food. Otherwise, they don't have the suda from you. Yeah?
Nothing to ask of you. Is it better to give sweets and candy or bagels and pickles?
By the way, it's not a joke. So what Dovi just said is what's really like the best food to give for Mishloach Manos? Like we all give lots of sweets and cute stuff and like sticky stuff that we do together with our costumes, which by the way is great. I'm not criticizing that at all. We should continue doing that. But I think it is important to note that really the optimal way of fulfilling the mitzvah is to give somebody food that they would actually use at their suda. So, to be fair, every year I try to buy, you know, a good friend of mine, he likes Chickies in Teaneck. So I get something from Chickies and I give it to him.
So
in Achinami. Right, but we try to be concerned for both opinions. Obviously, you don't have to do that for every single person that you give. The halach of Mishloach Manos, you have to give two foods to one person. So you only have to do that for one of those gifts. So I do it for one. And then for all the other ones, you do like nice candies and all the sticky stuff. Okay. It's going to be you this year.
It's a great idea. We got to drive around the giant Yapchik, handing out like Yapchik to everybody.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Let them sit there all day. You don't want to eat it right away. So, unless you're eating the suda all day.
Right. But it's okay. As long as you give the food so that it could... As long as you give the food so that it could be had as part of a suda, if that person chooses to then have their suda later on, that's okay. All right. So that's Mishloach Manos. It goes without saying that one of the whole bases for this mitzvah is, again, to do the opposite of what Haman HaRasha told us. That we're scattered? No. We're together and we'll show it by giving each other all of these beautiful treats, gifts. Okay. What about Matanos Levyonim? Really fascinating, intriguing. When we think about Matanos Levyonim, I think usually in our minds, we compare it, we might even conflate it with another mitzvah, which is tzedakah. Matanos Levyonim looks like charity, right? I write a check, I give some cash, to two poor people looks to me like charity. And according to some, it is. But according to many, Matanos Avyonim takes on a totally additional, separate dimension from tzedakah, from charity. The Ritva, in source number 20, I'm sorry I don't have time to go inside, but the Ritva in Bava Metzia says, who's familiar with the halacha that on Purim we don't distinguish between whether, we don't investigate whether somebody's actually poor or not. Somebody comes and asks for money, you give them the money. That's called Ein Medaktikin B'Ma'os Purim. They ask for the money, you give them the money, right? So during the rest of the year, the Mesholach comes to your door, you're going to want to see a certificate, you're going to want to see that he's not faking it. Okay, but on Purim, as long as if the guy is actually, like this happened one year in Washington Heights, only in Washington Heights, where like this guy, everybody knows that he's taking advantage and that he's just trying to get the money for things that we won't talk about. So in that case, that's not an application of Ein Bedaktikin B'Ma'os Purim. You don't give people money when they're not going to be using it for proper things. But Lamaisa, if they come to your door and they look like a poor person, or even not, and they just look like a genuine person, you don't investigate, you give them some money. Why? When it comes to tzedakah, we do investigate. You have to make sure that the person is an ani in order to be obligated to give him tzedakah. So why don't we investigate when it comes to Purim? Says the Ritva, She'ein yom zeh midin tzedakah bilvad. It's not only about charity. Ela midin simcha umanos. It's also about increasing the joy between people. And that's why this specific form of tzedakah, matanos la'evyonim, has unique attributes to it. In source number 21, the Mishnah Berurah says that the best thing to do for matanos la'evyonim is to give the ani, to give the poor people, something that they could use to provide a suda for themselves. So that would be either to give them the food or to give them the money with which they can go and buy the suda. That's why we all give money. But what, the reason why you're giving money is not really so that they, so that their bank account gets better. You're giving them the money so that they can have a suda. You're trying to enable them to have a suda, to join together, to partake with what everybody else in Klal Yisrael is doing. And this gets to our last point, or second to last point. Matanos le'evyonim. Why don't we say matanos la'aniyim? You have different words in Hebrew for poor people. But if you look in the Megillah, it says umatanos la'evyonim, not aniyim. What's the difference between an ani and an evyon? So classically, an ani is a poor person, but not wildly poor. In evyon, the word avet, like aleph, beis, hey, evyon means desperate. You're desperate. You can barely put food on the table. According to some poskim, the best way to fulfill matanos la'evyonim is to find the people who are most desperate for the help. Why? So there are two ideas here. One I heard from Rav Ravi of Rosenzweig, that Purim is a day of hope. Purim is a day on which everything seems dark and bleak, and eventually, v'nahafochu, the salvation comes. And we want to impress upon everyone in our nation that there's always hope. So you dafka go to the person who has the least amount of hope, who's the most desperate the rest of the year, and say Purim reminds us that there's always the glimmer of hope. Okay. Second idea that I want to present tonight. Maybe it really relates to the idea of achdus, to the unity of the nation. Because what we're trying to do when we give specifically to the desperate, to the downtrodden of our people, who could have easily been forgotten, could have easily, we didn't have to look at them at all. They're the people who get stepped over, Rahmana Litzlan. On Purim specifically, we go to those people and remind them that you too are part of this nation. You too are just like me. There's no difference here. We're not an elitist nation. On Purim, everybody is in this. When all of our lives were on the line, nobody cared whether you were wealthy or poor. So too now, when we're celebrating the day, nobody cares whether you're wealthy or poor. Everybody has to be part of this celebration. Everybody's got to have a suda. That's why maybe we go specifically, we search for the Evyonim. So Mikra Megillah, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Evyonim, Sudas Purim, all of it revolves around the idea of Achdos, the opposite of Amif Uzarim Forad Bein Ho'amim. The truth is that the very establishment of Purim was based on this whole idea. The Ramban, this is not on the source sheet, I'll say it outside. The Ramban, in his first commentary on the Megillah, he questions why it is that we have 2 days. Well, where else do we have 2 days? 2 days of celebration. 14th for the non-walled cities, 15th for the walled cities. Who came up with that? So the Ramban has a fascinating historical take. And he says that originally, the very first year of Purim, and a couple years after that, the only people who celebrated Purim were the people in the non-walled cities. The walled cities didn't celebrate at all. And then eventually, Mordechai, Ubeis Dino, Mordechai and the elders of his time, they saw that there were allusions to the celebration of Purim in the Torah, and therefore they established Purim for everybody. And once they established Purim, they said everybody has to be part of it. And the Ramban himself says that's why the Megillah keeps saying Kol HaYehudim. Kol HaYehudim, Kimu v'kiblu HaYehudim aleihem v'azarom v'al kol hanelvim aleihem v'lo yavor. Because the whole establishment of Purim was to say that everybody is involved in this miracle. Yes, the miracle may have been most miraculous for the people who lived in non-walled cities where they had the least amount of defense. But still, once part of the Jewish nation is their lives are at stake, everybody is part of that. Everybody's part of that story. Everybody's going to celebrate this day. So let's end off with a beautiful Sfas Emes. It's not on the source sheet, but I'm going to read it to you. It says like this. Iker HaYeshua B'Purim Nase al yedei hakinus. The salvation of Purim came about because of the gathering of the people. Kemo shekasuv lech kinos kol ha-yehudim. Goes on the Sfas Emes to say that what else do we learn, by the way, from Goes on the Sfas Emes to say that this also explains the reacceptance of the Torah that we had on Purim. We're familiar with the concept of Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, that the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah on Purim out of their own will. Because we know that when it comes to the first acceptance of the Torah, the Gemara in Shabbos Peches says that Kafa aleim har kegigis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilu, as if put a mountain on top of them and forced them to accept the Torah. And not only that, says the Sfas Emes, but we know we were unified at the original Matan Torah, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, right? But why were we unified? Because Hashem told us to be. Hashem said, Hakhel li es ha'am v'ashmi'im es devarai. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, gather the people and let them know my words. When we reaccepted the Torah on Purim, we did it of our own volition, and not only that, we became unified of our own volition. Nobody told us that we had to gather together, but we decided to. And that's why it says, V'kibel ha-Yehudim. The Jewish people accepted, in the singular, V'kibel, were one unit, one organism, one entity. Shenasu aguda achas. We became one people. That's the reacceptance of the Torah on Purim as well. That we all did it out of our own volition, that we wanted to be together. So this Purim, Be'ez Hashem, let's really tap into this idea, to this theme. Let's all get together, not only because it's fun, not only because it's enjoyable, and it should be, but because by getting together, by giving to each other, even maybe go out and give to somebody that you don't usually speak to, that you don't usually have that much to do with, in order to demonstrate that this is truly the day of Lech Kinos Kol HaYehudim. Wish everybody a beautiful party.